This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking levels, adjusting cams, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Ah, wow. Well, hi, I'm back. So, you know, I was out all last week because I had eye surgery, and I'm doing much better. On Tuesday, you know, the new COVID vaccines are available. Yeah, so on Tuesday, David and I went and got the new COVID booster. I should have realized that what happened the last few times, I mean, this was the third booster I've gotten, the fifth shot. Each time I've had a reaction. And sure enough, I was fine Tuesday. Tuesday night, my arm was a little sore. I woke up yesterday morning, sick as a dog, nauseous, threw up. I was chilled. I was freezing cold. And, you know, it's kind of hot outside. So I couldn't do a show yesterday. I was just sick. I knew I'd be fine today, and sure enough, I am. So I'd still get the booster again because if I feel this lousy after getting the COVID booster, all I can do is think of how I'd feel if I actually got COVID, and I don't want COVID. So that's why I wasn't here yesterday. I'm sorry. Back now. Nice to see you all. Thanks for being here. So this morning, turn on the news, and it seems like they're in Queen Elizabeth death watch mode. And they said, you know, she's not doing well. She's under a doctor's care. Her family's coming to be here to be with her. And all I could think is, all right, she's history. The queen's going to die today. Well, I went out. I had to go to the eye doctor again for a follow-up. It's been a week and a day now since my surgery. I'm doing great. Leave it at that. Yeah, any questions, I'm happy to answer, but I'm doing great. And sure enough, when I got home and turned on the computer, or maybe it was in the car, Allison, my daughter, took me. And there's all the breaking news. Queen Elizabeth has died. I'm not a big fan of the monarchy. I hate the idea that some people are royalty and others are just mere commoners. But, you know, nobody asked me. And this is something that's been around for many centuries, and that's how they do it over in Britain. The question is now, she dies, Charles automatically becomes king. He's King Charles III. Charles is not really loved over there, as far as I know. And I'll tell you what, if today were a different day, I'd call over to England just to ask random people what they would like to see happen now. I'm sure some would say, bring William on. Others would say, now's a good time to get rid of the monarchy. But we're not going to get there because I'm going to make a phone call in a moment. Not to the UK. You know, if you listen to the show, you know that I have a dear friend named Britt Somers, Boca Britt Somers. Boca, in her former life, was a worked on the Neil Rogers show here in South Florida. Neil Rogers was a radio legend, just a talk show host who ruled the airwaves in South Florida forever. And, you know, it was up and through the 90s, really, was at the height of his success. And Neil Rogers was a gay man on the air, openly gay, in South Florida at a time when that was not very fashionable. But he was able to do it. And Boca did all the comedy bits. And so a lot of the comedy bits that you hear here, all the production, all the intros, that's all Boca. She does amazing work. Well, got a call from Boca. Actually, a couple of days ago, I got a text from her saying, can I call you? And I'm like, of course you can call me. What? You don't have to ask me. And, well, let me try to get her on the line now. I hope she is able to pick up. We'll find out. But we're calling Boca Britt Summers. Hopefully she will pick up.
Hello.
And there she is. Hey, honey, it's Nicole calling.
Hi, Nicole. Are we on the air?
We are on the air.
Yay. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So I just went through my health update, and now I'm actually calling you in the hospital. What's going on?
Well, look at us. We're both members of the Cancer Club now. Look at this.
We are both members of the Cancer Club now. Luckily, I'm 6 years out of it. You're just finding out that you're in it, and apparently you've been in it for a while, too, without knowing, huh?
They're saying 6 or 7 years.
You find out that you've had prostate cancer, which is a very slow-growing cancer. That's what they think you've had for 6 or 7 years. The bad part, the really bad part, is that, as you put it to me, a piece broke off and moved up.
And it metastasized on my spine as a tumor. And it choked off all of my nerve endings so that, I'm making a very long story short. I lost the use of my leg last week, and remember that? You said you had that ribs? You're broken.
Right, I cracked a couple
of ribs. My ribs are broken. Yeah, and when you got a feeling like that, you can't stand or sit. I was debilitated. I couldn't move, so they had to take me down to the VA hospital in Miami.
How glad am I that you have VA health coverage? Because you didn't have health insurance, right? Other than the VA?
Right.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I have to, the level of care and service in this hospital is just astounding. It's just it's an unimaginable how caring the doctors and staffs are here, how they want to keep you comfortable. They try their best to have every patient in the hospital have a private room, a private bath.
Wow.
They try really hard. This is my second private room with a great view. I had no way to ever expect this type of treatment. You know what I'm saying? It's another form of socialized medicine.
That's right.
I don't know what that means. And that's, hey, boys and girls, this is what you get. You know how religious I am? I'm standing here, I could tell you I'm blessed. I've never been so blessed that this country can afford our vets this type of service for their health. I mean, to see it firsthand, and, you know, administratively, they've had a lot of goof-ups and all that stuff. Administratively, a bureaucracy this big is going to screw up and make mistakes. But the people that actually dedicate their lives to this, and I've heard several say that, you know, we get paid well. But our real payment is the health of our patients. We're here because we care. Yeah, I'll tell you that. I got to tell the audience that, you know, I never really had good insurance. I've never been hospitalized before. And here I am in this hospital. And every morning after I get my radiation treatment, I'm phalanxed by 6 surgeons. One day it could be oncologists. Mm-hmm. The other day it could be the neurosurgeons. And they'll sit and they'll discuss and they'll have any problems, any questions. There's no rush. And then they put you on what they would say would be a plan till the next day. They get back with you. It's like, this is a very fortunate situation. And I wish everybody could have this.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I'd heard, or we've talked about this, that the VA care is top notch once you get through the bureaucracy and you can get in. Now, you had a thing. You were in the Navy, but there was a mix-up with your paperwork or something, you got lost, and Ted Deutch, our outgoing congressman, his office fixed it for you?
He fixed it. Well, his staff, his erstwhile staff, really did a yeoman's job in trying to restore my benefits. I got partial benefits when I got out of the Navy. I got my education and all that. But all the paperwork wasn't complete. because, and I'm going to date myself now, which I don't usually do on the air. Remember, I'm 39.
Oh, right. Of course you are. Yeah.
When I was in the 70s, they were making the switch from using your serial number on your dog tags. They were switching from serial numbers to social security numbers.
Oh, my God.
And so the typos didn't always go well, and one of mine was wrong. So basically, that's what happened. They couldn't access all of my records. And that, now they did. And in I'm so grateful for them for helping me. Yeah. But in their zeal to expedite the paperwork, they put me down as a Vietnam vet.
Oh, and I am God. Not.
I know. I'm like, but now I got to change it with the National Archives. I was in the era, but I didn't go there.
Right.
So they just thought it would go faster if they did that, and it screwed it up even worse. But the good news is the main stuff's here. I did recover most of the benefits that I need, one of them being health. So thank Yoshki for that, because if it wasn't for that, I'd be dead. And I don't know. I don't have no idea what would happen.
Right. So with the prognosis, again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with our friend of the show, Boca Britt Summers, who was diagnosed just a few days ago with cancer, with an aggressive tumor that came out of prostate cancer that wrapped around your spine. You cut off your legs. You couldn't use your legs. Now, you texted me this morning that your right leg you have completely back. How's your left?
Yeah, the physical therapy here is great. I never imagined myself using a walker, but they gave me like a real groovy looking one. And I'm trying to get as much exercise with it. This is boring. You know, you and I talking about our medical conditions on the air.
It's the maladies. It's the maladies maladies show.
That's right. We're doing this wrong. We have to sit by the pool.
Ah, yes. And,
yeah,
well, you know, it's the right time to do it. And we're talking about the maladies maladies. The queen died.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, listen, anybody watching cable news, you might as well shut it off now.
Oh, my God. For a week. This is going to be this way for the next week, at least.
Oh, yeah, they got the funeral after that?
Yeah.
Boy, they all got back from vacation. Now they get a new one.
Yeah, right. So, all right. So you're undergoing radiation. You said they also started you on chemo?
Just yesterday, yeah. You see, it was prostate cancer, and whenever they don't know when it broke off, they don't know where the other parts of them went. So that's the big mystery. I am in the hospital now to get rid of the pain so I can go home and then undergo what's called systemic exams so they can find the rest of it and get rid of that.
Oh, God.
But right now here, the goal is that I can move. And they gave me this wild new drug. Oh, let me tell you about the new drug.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
What's it called? I'm terrible with drugs. I want to call it turducken, but that's not it.
No, isn't that fake turkey? Yeah.
No, but it's close. It's called Turadol.
Turadol. Okay.
Yeah, it's a shot. And I listen, they put me on... what is it called? Paraquat. I'm so bad at this. You know, when I give you my steroid injection, I say I named my hemorrhoid injection, and they look at me funny because I get it all wrong. What the hell is it called? Anyway, what they get, not heroin. I can't remember the name. See, I'm on drugs.
Morphine. They gave you morphine, and
morphine,
the morphine didn't do anything.
It did nothing. They put it on the drip. They put it on the drop. They put it. It did absolutely nothing. A Percocet, absolutely nothing. The only thing that had any effect was ibuprofen. And this stuff, man, I mean, it's the front pain of my chest is gone practically.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Nice. Oh, I'm sorry. What's it called again? Tell me the name of it.
So bad. Turadol.
Turadol. Turadol.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a shot.
Oh, uh-huh.
But that's really, really helping me.
Good. Because last night you said it was the ibuprofen that helped you more than anything else, right?
Oh, because it's an anti-inflammatory, and we have to shrink everything. So, well, as the tumor shrinks, and by the way, when I get the rad treatment, the pain gets worse because it's pissing off the tumor.
Right. So, oh, my God. So do they know how long you'll be in the hospital? You're going to go home in a few days, right?
Yeah, schedule's this. Last radiation treatment is tomorrow, and then they're going to monitor me for pain, which is key because once the pain goes, I can handle the rest on schedule for my own self.
Okay, here's the thing about Toradol. It's Toradol, and it's sort of like it's an NSAID that's similar to ibuprofen and Aleve and that stuff, but it's more powerful and requires a prescription. So there you go.
And the first time they gave me the shot, I levitated from the bed about 4 feet and was listening to Seamus.
Really?
Seamus Summer Place.
Wow.
I mean, it's not really good. If I could manage this pain. And my question of the week is, if I had a show, by the way, anybody listening who's wondering, yes, I'm going to have a show as soon as I get back. I can do it sitting down.
Wow. And I thought I was a glutton for punishment.
Well, it's been over. It's going to be a month.
Okay? Oh, wow. Because you've been...
Before all this, it's too long. Yeah.
Right.
It's not fair. So if we want more punishment, there will be more shows.
Good.
And the other thing is, my question is going to be, can you think of one serious topic that Alex Wagner will ever take seriously in a journalistic sense?
I don't know. I don't watch. I really don't watch. I mean,
oh my God.
I've been watching only because of the documents, which now, I don't know if you heard, there's been other news today other than Queen Elizabeth. The Department of Justice just filed the appeal against the ruling by the idiot here in Florida for the special master.
And that's going to take time. So it's everything.
Yeah, but what they're asking for is immediate relief to say that they do not have to stop the investigation, and specifically that this should not apply to anything with the confidential markings on it. If it's a record that's confidential, then it has no bearing, a special master would have nothing to do with it because Donald Trump has nothing to do with it except that he stole the documents. You know?
Well, remember that Julius and Ethel only sold it to one country.
That's right. Julius and Ethel only sold it to one country, and they were put to death.
Yes.
Right? And just to remind you of what Donald Trump said a few years ago about classified documents, I don't know if you remember this or not, but listen to this.
On political corruption, we are going to restore honor to our government. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information.
Right?
No one will be above the law.
No one will be above the law. No. Okay.
It could be around the law. It could be under the law.
Yeah, right. Sometimes your own words come back to bite you in the ass.
I like the way he said all lures.
All lures, right.
All lures.
Right. Yeah, he's got away with words.
Yeah. That was just a funny thing. Whenever you hear him say, you hear the quote all the time, 11,870. And when he gets to the votes, it just cracks me up. He goes, no. Anyway.
All right. Britt, I'm going to let you go.
All right.
I will talk to you later. Anything you need.
Well, when I get back, I did an old Evergreen comedy bit years ago to a Jackson Brown song. I called it Floaters in My Eye.
Will you dedicate that to me? Because my eye is doing much better. You know, I went to the doctor this morning I was there. And two things still bug me. I've got this air bubble still in my eye. So I have this round circle at the bottom of my right eyeball that I can see. I mean, it's getting so much better. I shouldn't complain. But the other thing is I've got these floaters now. And they are, I think I have bugs coming at me. It's like a bad acid trip where I, out of the corner of my eye, it's like, oh my God, a bug. And then I look and there's no bug there, but I constantly feel like bugs are coming at me. So, yeah. Anyway, that's my latest. I can live with that. We got to get you better. So I'm glad.
I'm so happy you called.
Oh, I'm so happy I did too. I'm glad that you're having such great care because, yeah. Because
we gotta get everybody on board with this. If they only saw, you know, what kind of a movement we'd have, that way people would rally if they could see the type of treatment and care you get.
Yeah.
People don't know.
I'll let you go with one question from the chat room because only you can answer this. Karina asks, mm-hmm. Did Britt ever find out if she's related to Suzanne Summers?
Suzanne Summers?
Yes.
No, she's Republican. No,
are you related to her? Is what she asked.
No.
I
could say at one point maybe because I was dizzy, but
Okay. All right. On that note, I will let you get back to your drugs and not the TV, I guess, but to your private room with a view.
I just want to thank everybody. My love to the chats out there and the audience. I'll see you back on my show next week or soon. After that or whenever I come back to Earth on my trip, whatever it's been.
Well, keep me posted on how you're doing. Take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, love you. Love everybody.
Love you too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Our friend, Boca Brittany Summers. God, I hate that. Cancer. Fuck cancer. So 6 years after I kick mine. There's a song by Joe Jackson called Cancer. Everything gives you cancer. Everything. I could recite the lyrics, but just go listen to the song. All right. So. Wow. I had to let her tell you what was going on because I feel like all I do these days is tell you about my, health issues. So that's Boca. We send out our whatever you do. If you pray, pray. If you think good thoughts, healing thoughts, do that. Whatever you do, please do send out good thoughts for our friend Boca. All right. In case you didn't hear, there was other news today. So the Department of Justice did appeal the special master ruling. Let me see if I can give you any more information on that. A prosecutor said in a new court filing that temporarily halting the federal criminal probe into the former guy's handling and storage of classified materials would result in irreparable harm to the government and the public. They also said that U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon's attempt to enjoin the investigation while permitting a parallel national security review of the seized documents was unworkable. DOJ also contended that it's urgent the FBI be permitted to help investigate dozens of empty folders found at Mar-a-Lago with classification markings to determine what they once held and whether their contents, quote, may have been lost or compromised. Whew. In its filing, the Justice Department asked Cannon to exclude all documents with classification markings from any special master review while the government appealed her ruling to the Atlanta-based 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. That's what I was just telling Boca. So hopefully that, that will happen. Because the more I read and hear about what her ruling does to the investigation, this is unconscionable. This isn't what Donald Trump would want, is it?
On political corruption, we are going to restore honor to our government. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
You hear that? No one will be above the law. And that, I guess, also includes Steve Bannon. Yeah, Steve Bannon turned himself in. He did. Why? The former guy pardoned him, right? Well, yeah, Trump did pardon him on his last day in office. But presidential pardons only apply to federal charges, not state ones. And the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, and New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, continued their investigations of Bannon. And it's all about the We Build the Wall scam. Do you remember this? It was a Donald Trump thing. It was a fundraiser. Allegedly, raising money to pay for the wall. You know, the one that the former guy said Mexico would pay for? Yeah. Remember that? Anyway, so they kept the investigation up. Apparently, most of the money went into their pockets. Shocker. I know. It's hard to believe that they would do such a thing. But so Steve Bannon checked himself in, shows up at the courthouse today, and check this out. So this is him walking into the building, and there's, of course, reporters waiting to, behind the barricades to photograph him going in. And he says,
"For every conservative American, this is what happens in the last days of a dying regime.
What?
They will never shut me up. They'll have to kill me first.
Oh,
I have not yet begun to fight."
Oh, so original. He has not yet begun to fight. They'll never shut me up. They're going to have to kill me first. Be careful what you wish for. They're not going to kill him. That's the thing. If it were, if the roles were reversed, which it wouldn't be because, come on, the Democrats wouldn't do the shit that the Republicans are doing. I'm not saying the Democrats are by any stretch of the imagination guiltless or as a political party should operate. But compared to these people, they are pristine, right? They're not going to, under the guise of financing a public works program, which is what building the wall should have been if it were needed. They stole the money and put it in their own pockets. I do not think the Democratic Party would do that. Can you imagine Joe Biden surrounding himself with people like Steve Bannon, pulling a scam on the poorly educated folks out there who might support them? Then again, it's the poorly educated who are supporting the Republicans. That's why Donald Trump loves the poorly educated. Does it make sense yet? Because it should. That's why he does what he does. That's the latest news. I mean, especially when everything right now is going to be overshadowed by the Queen and Charles. I still want to make that phone call, and maybe tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to speak with a woman, and of course, what is her last name? A woman named Terry Canefield, K-A-N-E-F-I-E-L-D. I just discovered her on Twitter this week once I was able to start reading again, which is still kind of shaky because I got this bubble in my right eye. But she's a former lawyer. She's an author. She's a writer and a journalist, and just really smart. So she's going to join us tomorrow. I reached out to her, and we're going to tape something tomorrow at 3:00 my time. So really right before showtime. And I think we'll learn a lot from her. She's like, well, by Friday, we should have a lot more answers concerning everything surrounding these documents and the prosecutions and all that stuff. So always trying to find us sources to tell us what's going on. All right. I'll tell you what. It is that time. And I don't want this. Sorry. I'm trying to get my phone up here. So I don't even know what that is. So I can call Howie Klein. But you know what? Before I call him, we need to do this.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole Sandler.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. So, you know, I emailed you this morning, as I tend to do on Thursdays, to say, any thoughts on what you'd like to talk about today? And you wrote me back, you said, well, it's still real early. Yeah. And you know what? A lot happened since that email. So,
well, yes. And I'm most excited about is that the Department of Justice just decided or just announced that they're going to appeal the ruling from that crackpot Federalist judge that Trump appointed take it to a step higher, which
absolutely.
I'm very excited about.
It is about time. I mean, yes, and we knew that it was coming. And the thing is, the deadline for them to do it actually was tomorrow. So that, you know, they didn't have much longer to wait. But the what they filed is really interesting in that, you know, this ruling by this so-called judge has been just decimated roundly by both parties. And the thing is, it stops their investigation cold on everything. They can't. And so they're asking for the immediate relief in removing anything with classified markings from this special master order so they can at least keep working on it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect way to, and there's no excuse not to agree to that.
None whatsoever. None at all. So there is that. Then I saw your tweet. If I could play music here, I would have opened today's show with the Smiths, The Queen is Dead. But
I was kind of hoping we were going to get through the whole show without mentioning that.
Oh, sorry. Well, I loved your comment that you were going to save it for Lindsay, but, you know, you didn't have to. So what should we talk about? We could talk about the fact that primary season is basically over. I think we have one more day of primaries. It's this coming Tuesday. Delaware,
right.
Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. Anything
Massachusetts? They did it
last week, right? This is an old list I'm working off of. You Delaware, New Hampshire, Rhode Island. So anything?
Well, Rhode Island has important Democratic primaries, and New Hampshire has important Republican primaries.
Okay. Any Blue America candidates among the group?
Yes, obviously in Rhode Island, where we're supporting David Siegel for Congress,
okay,
and Matt Brown and his team for governor. But it's really more than that. They literally have a whole ticket trying to take over the whole state for progressives.
Oh wow!
So they've got, you know, it's him and Cynthia Mendez running for governor. Matt Brown and Cynthia Mendez are running for governor and lieutenant governor, and then they've got a whole slate of people running for the state legislature as well. So it's interesting. I mean, it looks like they've definitely got some legislative seats they're going to win. They're it looks really good, but in terms of governorship, that's a really tough one. Very, very, very tough. There's a lot of money up against them, a lot of special interests that are, you know, that's just piling in against them. So it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, the history of this year's primaries is that when the bad guys are willing to spend enough money, it doesn't go well for the good guys.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's been the problem, is all the dark money. If not for the money issues with, you know, we've talked about this, I think, before our little break, but where these, especially this group that Hakeem Jeffries appears to be aligned with.
He's leading this. He's the coordinator between, it's kind of illegal to coordinate these things, but he's doing it anyway. So he's got his own anti-progressive pack. He's the one that tells that joker from the cryptocurrency billionaire, what's his name, Bankman-Fried. He tells him what to do, and he's working very, very closely with Mark Melman, and Melman doesn't just have a Democratic majority for Israel, but also calls the shots for AIPAC. So the four of them have been working to defeat progressives, and mostly success, not 100%, but mostly successfully, probably around more than 85%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. And the Democrats are about to make Hakeem Jeffries their new leader if Pelosi leaves.
Wow. And now, I've heard that Adam Schiff is jockeying for a fight. Have you heard anything about it? I know you're not the biggest Adam Schiff fan, but it's...
No, I haven't been. But Adam and I were friends a long time ago, and we're on friendlier terms now. So you don't have to say anymore that we're not on good terms.
Gotcha.
We weren't for a while. Remember, Adam, when he got into Congress, I knew him when he was a state senator here in the Burbank area. And when he became a member of Congress, he joined the Blue Dogs, which I felt like was a really bad slap in the face, but, what are you going to do? And then he voted for the war in Iraq, and I told him, fuck off. And in between, we sort of, didn't have a very good relationship until I got really sick, and he sent me a really nice note on a personal level, and that, it's hard to, hate somebody. And then he said, he's willing to leave the Blue Dogs, because he knew, for various reasons. I can't say it's just because of me.
Uh-huh.
But he did have someone in his staff call me and talk to me about it. And he did. He left the Blue Dogs, and he joined the New Dems. But the thing is, and they're almost as bad as the Blue Dogs, not quite, but almost. But he's been the most progressive member of the New Dems. And then recently, he's been, when he gets on the radio, since it's here in L.A., and he's my congressman,
right.
When he goes on the radio, he just talks really progressively.
Huh.
I mean, he's advocating for a bunch of progressive things, so much so that the last time I heard him on the radio, I just, sent him a note and said, why don't you just get rid of those losers in the New Dems and just join the Blue Dogs already. Join the Progressive Caucus already.
Right? Yeah.
But he didn't respond to that.
No.
But he did respond. I asked him about going and helping a progressive who's running for Congress, and he said he'll think about it. He has to talk to his team about it. And I wrote him a note and said, don't think so hard. I'll drive you.
Good. Well, so any truth to that? Have you heard anything along the lines of him challenging Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, not specifically. Just he's saying he's going for a leadership position. He's not saying it, but he's acting as though he were going to go for a leadership position, and he's told people that he's closer with than me that he's going to do that.
Good.
So if that means he's going to challenge Hakeem, that's one thing, and we should talk about that in a second. But it also might mean that he's going to challenge people who are running. Hakeem has a team, Team Hakeem, and it's really bad. He's got one person who's pretty good in it, but then he's got Pete Aguilar, who's about the bottom of the toilet in terms of Democrats in Congress. He's a coke freak, corrupt beyond belief, wasn't even a Democrat, very conservative, just awful. But the thing is that when you think about Adam Schiff and Hakeem, where do you go? Adam's much smarter.
Uh-huh.
Hakeem is very, very corrupt. He's been corrupt for his whole career. I mean, he was in the New York State Legislature, and he was known for corruption. He's a Wall Street guy, 100%. Adam isn't really corrupt, and but the thing is that it's funny. Hakeem, although it's idiotic, is in the Progressive Caucus.
Yeah, I know.
And he does vote with the Progressive Caucus, whereas, like I said, Adam is a New Dem. So people would have to weigh closely who they're going to be rooting for in that thing. We don't get a vote. It's only members of Congress get a vote there.
Right.
But Hakeem is pretty much sewn up, most of Congress, I think. I mean, everyone who I talk to tells me that he's got it in the bag.
Mm. That's a shame. And the thing is, Adam Schiff, with since
it is a shame, unless you're rooting for the Democratic Party to just disintegrate
right.
and be torn in two, because that'll be what happens if he's the leader. The Democratic Party won't survive him as leader.
Ouch.
Well, maybe good. Maybe not ouch. Maybe great.
Okay, well, I guess both parties need to be blown up and started. It's about
time.
Remember,
this would be after the election.
Right. And historically, it's probably time for that.
I would say. I mean, you know, there's no need for a two-party system. It's not turned out well, especially in the last years. And, you know, I progressives will not be able to. You know what's going to be really interesting? Schumer is calling a vote on this Manchin side deal that he made, which they're calling reform.
Yeah,
which
let's talk about what
something
that is.
To just, like, completely destroy any semblance of a Green New Deal. And you know, the thing that they say in the Senate about it is, well, if you don't vote for it, then Schumer's word won't be worth anything. Who gives a shit if Schumer's word is worth anything
right.
or not? I mean, when I see someone like Brian Schatz, who, you know, aside from his own personal ambition, the reason that he ran for the Senate in the first place is because he really does believe in climate change. And that's really what
right.
that's his thing.
Yep.
And he's announced that he's going to vote for this thing.
Oy. I saw Bernie Sanders
yeah,
announced
right. I mean, so far, the only senator that I know of who said he's not going to vote
Bernie.
For it is Bernie.
By
exactly.
the way, it's Bernie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Bernie. But I wish he'd stop aging. Just saying. I just
yes,
want him to stay
put. Stop aging, damn you.
Yeah.
he's not that much older than the new King of England. Oops, I can't believe
true.
I said it. Anyway, what I did want to say was that the only House member that I know of who has come out and publicly said that she's not going to vote for this thing is Rashida.
Oh, wow.
So good for her. But I believe that there are many other House members who have made the decision not to do it. Now, it's a very consequential decision, by the way, because the way Schumer is trying to destroy Democrats with this thing is by attaching it to the CR to keep the government
continuing
open.
Resolution, which they need to funds the government through
right.
the next.
But you know what you got to do? You just got to say no. You got to, you know, let it fail and then let Schumer come back with a clean CR that doesn't have this piece of crap Manchin bill in it. That's what he's got to do.
Right. And also, there's another bill that Tammy Baldwin and Susan Collins are working together on to try to codify same-sex marriage.
It's not just same-sex marriage, by the way.
It's also,
people should be aware.
It's also interracial
it's also,
marriage.
Interracial marriage.
That's right. Right. So they're trying to get that done so the Supreme Court can't take away those rights, which they've threatened to do. Actually, I believe Clarence Thomas threatened, not
who
the interracial.
Who is an interracial marriage
right,
himself.
And that's the only thing he didn't threaten to take away. Threatened to take away everything else, but not the interracial marriage. Gee, I wonder why. But they want to do that. And Schumer apparently is toying with the idea of attaching that to the CR as well, pissing off Baldwin and Collins and everybody else in the process.
Yep.
Yeah, he just, yeah, no.
It'll be interesting to see because no one who votes for this thing will ever be able to be called a progressive again. The climate change is just too important to fool around with this bullshit. You know, if you vote to destroy the planet, you're not a progressive. I don't care what else you stand for. It doesn't matter. This Manchin bill cannot be voted for by anybody who wants to be known as a progressive. And on my blog yesterday, I gave a list of people in the Progressive Caucus who I know are going to vote for it.
Wow. Wow. So let me just ask, because I don't know about the specifics of this. So Manchin was okay with this, you know, build back smaller bill that did have some good climate mitigation stuff. Does this undo what they put in there?
Well, in terms of a meta way, yes, it does, but not specifically. So, in other words, they'll still have charging stations, for example. But in terms of the amount of pollution that's going to go in greenhouse gases that'll go into the air, yeah, it undoes it. It undoes it. But the thing is that what they're saying is that when Manchin made the backroom deal that others didn't know about with Schumer, it was he would vote for it. and therefore let it pass, because if he would have voted against it, it wouldn't have passed. So he said he'll vote for it if Schumer guarantees him to pass this side deal, which they're calling reform. It was a joke.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. It just shows, you know, that's why you need to read the small print, because if you just read the headlines, you don't know this stuff.
Well, that's why people tune into us.
That's right. That's right.
I have a story on this that goes into it with some depth that's coming out in like 3 hours.
Oh, good.
2 hours.
Okay, so everyone can find that at downwithtyranny.com. Before you go to sleep, just go on and read, and you'll be up to speed on that. So, Howie, you and I didn't talk last week. Obviously, I was out because I had the surgery.
And you're getting all recovered now?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
You're saying that.
Yes, it is incredible in that, you know, a week ago, they cut into my right eye. And now all I have is this little, I've got an air bubble in there that goes away as the air bubble is, I guess, to fill the space that this membrane that they removed used to inhabit. And then the fluid, natural fluid from your eye, it takes over the spot from the bubble, and the bubble goes away, the air bubble. So it's just this round little bubble now at the bottom, but it's annoying because I always see it there. And then I have these floaters, and I feel like I'm tripping, like a bad trip where bugs are coming at me because I have these black spots that I keep seeing out of my peripheral vision that look like they're coming at me. I always think there's a big roach running across the floor or something. It's pretty frightening. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Good. And they told you in advance that there would be floaters and air bubble,
yes,
and everything.
Yep. So I knew all that was coming. And then I was out yesterday because the new COVID booster is out. And so I got it on Tuesday. And I should have waited until Friday, because I know every time I've gotten one of these shots, the next day I feel really bad. And I felt really sick yesterday. And today I'm fine, as I knew I would be. So it's worth it to me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I have my appointment already in. I'm getting a bunch of things at the hospital all on the same day.
Oh, good.
That one.
Good. Okay. So hey, Howie, so we didn't get to talk last week, and we didn't talk about the elections, the primaries in Alaska. Now, we had Santa Claus on the show back before the primary. He was running just for the special election. He didn't win. But I just figured that Sarah Palin was going to walk away with it because she was doing well. The Democrat won. What happened there?
Mary Peltola.
Yeah.
And she was very, very, not just endorsed by Santa Claus, but he was out campaigning for her and very, very, very vigorously.
Good. So do you think she stands a chance to win the actual, because she's also running for the next 2 years in November? She didn't just run like Santa Claus did in just the special election. She's running in both. Does she have a shot at winning in November or the other one?
Election, and there's no reason to believe that she's not going to win. Why would she not win?
Right.
It's the same situation with that, you know, extreme right wing nut who's to the right of Sarah Palin and Begich. So Begich is running, Palin is running, and Mary is running. So why should it be any different? I think she'll win. It wasn't close.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah.
And I think people in Alaska are just sick of being embarrassed by Sarah Palin. They're just over it.
I'm sure. But they also have ranked choice voting there, don't they? And that's how...
Yeah.
And of course, the Republicans always have to find something to scream about, to say, oh, it's not fair. Yeah, it's fair. In fact, that's more fair than the way we, you know, have done it all along. If we had ranked choice voting, then it does calculate people's second and third choices. And I can't figure out the math, but that's what mathematicians are for, right?
I think it's a good idea, too. But you got to remember, in Alaska, it was voted on. So it wasn't just passed by the legislature or promulgated by the governor. The people of Alaska voted for ranked choice voting.
Yeah.
I don't know why Palin thinks she has the right to yell and scream about a corrupt system.
Because she lost. Because she lost.
Yeah, right.
And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. When they can, anytime they lose, then it wasn't fair. If they win, then they're perfectly happy with it. The best is, she says facetiously, the best is in a, you know, in a race where they like one outcome but don't like another. And they're very selective. Well, this race was fixed and corrupt, but that one was fine.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's pretty amazing that they're...
their voters buy into this. It's just it astounds me that their voters are that simple-minded.
Right. But you know what? That happens with everything. Everything they do. The fact that they still – look, that some of them, and it's still a pretty large number, are still carrying water for Trump blows my mind. Just how could anybody still defend that man? Hillary Clinton and her emails, they insist that she should be locked up still. And the fact that he took all these classified documents, another country's nuclear secrets, and you can't imagine. I mean, if the tables were reversed, if Hillary Clinton or somebody walked out of the White House with those, they would go nuts. Kill them. Hang them. And it was nothing. It's a storage problem. What?
That was Rubio's storage problem.
Of course, that's Rubio. Oh, please. But they're either the dumbest, most gullible people out there.
I vote for that.
Yeah, I was trying to think, or what? There is no other. I don't know. Nothing makes sense.
Right. There are a couple of words that could describe it. I can't. They're on the tip of my tongue. But dumbest and most gullible works.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I saw Reality Winner on TV today. I don't remember where it was, but she was being interviewed. She stole one document. One document. Was arrested immediately and spent 4 years in prison. One document.
And what's Reality Winner?
What is she? She was a whistleblower. She worked in...
Oh, is that her name?
That was her name. Reality Winner. That's her name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about a TV show.
No, that's the woman's name. Reality Winner.
Cool name.
Yeah, I guess. But she took one document, was arrested immediately, and spent 4 years in prison.
Good. I'm all for law and order, but then Trump should get 40 years in prison.
Absolutely. And then I just pulled this audio from 2016. It's funny how sometimes the things you say come back and bite you on the ass.
On political corruption, we are going to restore honor to our government. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information.
Oops.
No one will be above the law.
That's my favorite part. No one will be above the law.
Except, is that on YouTube?
I don't think so. I can send you the clip.
Would you? Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I'd love to use it.
Yep, I will email it to you. I have the audio here. I don't know if I don't remember where I got it from. I may have just had it, but I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Cool.
You know, the hypocrisy is stunning, and the projection. You know, the show is on the Progressive Voices Network, and it's run by a man named John Sinton. He was the original program director of Air America Radio, and he puts out a newsletter. He's got a Substack like everybody else, and he sent one out today. Let me see if I can find. Here it is. He sent one out today called "Projection or Confession," and he noted that, I'll just read you the first part because he could have stopped there. He says, on WJFN FM in Virginia, creepy, greasy, felonious Steve Bannon intones, quote, "If Democrats don't cheat, they don't win." That sentence illustrates perfectly the nature of projection, which Psychology Today defines as the process of displacing one's feelings onto a different person, animal, or object. The term is most commonly used to describe defensive projection, attributing one's own unacceptable urges to another. And then he said, I could stop there, having written the shortest, most on-point commentary in op-ed history. But this isn't Twitter, and I owe you more. And then he goes on to talk about more examples of this projection. It's what they do every single day.
Wow, I didn't realize that John Sinton was a progressive. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very much so. Very cool. Much so. Yeah, again, he was the original program director of Air America. And
but he was also, I guess, way before that, he was one of the guys with Lee Abrams who started,
yes.
You know, making free, you know, more or less freeform radio into
formatted radio, into corporate rock. Yep, the Superstars format. I worked under that format back in the day. Yeah, he came out of, you know, he's a radio guy, but he's definitely a progressive. He's a good guy. You'd like him.
Yeah, it sounds like I would from what you read.
Most definitely. Yeah, I'll send you the link to his thing as well if you want to check that out. So,
sure.
So now, Howie, again, this Tuesday is the final of the primary races, and then it's general election mode. We were singing doom and gloom at this point, what, 4 or 5 months ago. Things have turned around a lot. I say that in a perverse sense, we should thank this extreme court that's no longer supreme because they gave us the push to say, holy shit, we need to get rid of these Republicans and not allow them to be in power anymore, because if they are in power, we lose all of our rights.
Right. I agree. And I think the Democrats will increase their hold on the Senate. And right now it's up in the air whether they can keep the majority in the House. But that was thought of as impossibility just a few months ago. And, I mean, you know, most of the rating agencies are still saying that it's not likely, and it's just not going to be, you know, it's not a red tsunami, it's not a red wave, it's a red ripple. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it could be a blue ripple. No one really knows.
No one knows. But
I try to go through all of the districts one by one. I still come up with basically a tie. You can't say the Republicans are going to win or the Democrats are going to win. It's too close. If the election were held today, I would say the Democrats might lose one or two seats, and that means they would still hold the majority.
Oh, that would be great, although I'd hate to see it that close in the House. But I'd like it if the Democrats still have the majority. You know, this is what worries me. I think if everything was fair, it would be no contest. The Democrats would win easily. But what they say is the Republicans now don't even have to flip any district that Joe Biden won to win the majority in the House because of the redistricting.
Remember,
and gerrymandering.
Democrats are flipping seats that Trump won.
That's true.
Right. So keep that in mind when you think about that thing that they keep saying over and over again.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is it is more of a probability. But the reason that it's still an uphill climb is because of gerrymandering and redistricting, that they can still win without flipping any seats that Biden won.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, it just makes it all the more important that we all get out and vote. Because, look, we already lost our right to control our bodies if you're a woman. There are so many other things that they're ready to take away from us that we can't allow them to do it.
Right. And if they come into power, they will take that as encouragement to do that.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And you know what's they're such hypocrites. And I know it's redundant to call them out on their hypocrisy, but they're all scrubbing their websites now of anything having to do with their extreme abortion stance or, you know, their primary batshit crazy stance on anything to be more centrist, to come now to the middle, because that's what they do in the general. We need to keep reminding everyone of exactly what they said in the primary, because that's what they really think.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Some of them are even getting rid of all their talk about Trump, where in the primary, mm-hmm. that's all they talked about.
Right.
Now they're trying to tone that down.
Yeah. Well,
I think people know that. I think a lot of voters know that.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think so too. And I think, you know, never underestimate the power of women is what I'll say next, because women are pissed. And the registrations across the country of women is exploding. So
yep.
that's good too. All right.
Sure.
Yep. All right, Howie, I'm gonna let you go. We're at the end of the hour. And for once, we're not going to run over. and we'll talk next week.
Okay. Feel
All right.
Better.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Howie Klein, everybody. Find him at downwithtyranny.com. And yes, I, for one, am looking forward to reading the piece that he's got going into greater detail about this side deal that Schumer cut with Joe Manchin. You know, with Joe Manchin, my God, it's always playing with the devil. You know what? I knew I forgot to ask him about something. I did want to ask him about the big Taylor Hawkins tribute concert last weekend in London. They're doing another one at the end of the month. If you're not a Foo Fighters fan, I understand. But it was, you know what? It was a really nice thing to see this band honoring their brother. And all these other musicians coming out and paying tribute. And the best part was at the end when Taylor Hawkins' 16-year-old son got up and killed it on the drums on the song My Hero. Yeah, I'm still a music nut. What can I tell you? And yeah, I was glad to see it. They're going to do, again, one in L.A., I think on the 27th. Anyway, with that, we're done. Back tomorrow with a guest I think we're both going to like. All right, so I'll see you then. And I will leave you with the news because, you know, we can do that here. All right. Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry for the extended absences. You know, I hate doing that, right? If I'm ever out, if I'm out sick, know that I'm really sick because, yeah, I don't just haphazardly take days off. And having come back on Tuesday, having to take yesterday off, so unlike me. So, you know, I needed the day. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Here's the news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
There are only 14 more session days before senators leave D.C. to hit the campaign trail. And with some votes and deadlines looming, there's very little margin for error, especially with at least four senators out after testing positive for COVID. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announcing on Wednesday that a vote protecting marriage equality will happen in the coming weeks. The House already passed a bill protecting same-sex marriage with the support of 47 Republicans. Supporters of the bill are trying to round up enough support in the Senate where they'll definitely need at least 10 Republicans to overcome a filibuster. Donald Trump's former advisor, Steve Bannon, surrendering himself this morning for arraignment in New York City on new criminal charges involving an alleged fundraising scheme. Bannon to plead not guilty to charges in this state criminal indictment. The Manhattan DA's office has been investigating Bannon over a private effort that raised $25 million, allegedly to help build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Bannon and three others were arrested in August of 2020 on federal fraud charges connected to the We Build the Wall project. Federal prosecutors had accused Bannon of diverting hundreds of thousands of dollars to cover personal expenses. Trump pardoned him before his case went to trial, but presidential pardons don't apply to state cases. So Bannon accused New York of a, quote, partisan political weaponization of the criminal justice system. Cue the violins. The heat wave scorching the western U.S. is likely to continue for at least the next few days. California's power grid operator issued an alert this morning calling on residents to set thermostats to 78 degrees or higher to avoid using major appliances and to turn off all unnecessary lights in the evening. In Nevada, residents have also been urged to reduce electricity usage due to a significant reduction in the available energy supply. The National Weather Service said the heat will end abruptly and unusually in some parts of Southern California. Why? Well, a rare hurricane is making a close pass by the area. Climate experts say the storm will likely create an alarming combination of extreme heat, flash flooding, damaging offshore winds, and an increased fire threat through Saturday. Stay safe out there. So while it's hot out west, the East Coast is bracing because hurricane season has finally arrived. But it's been the slowest start on record with only five named storms since June 1st. This marks the first year since 1941 without a named storm between July 3rd and August 30th. Though the season runs through the end of November, weather experts had predicted a volatile above normal season, anticipating 20 named storms and 7 hurricanes due to high sea surface temperatures. And this calm comes just 2 years after the busiest season on record. But there are a few storms already named out in the Atlantic. Nothing so far threatening a direct landfall hit, but that could change. Stay tuned. So if you've been wondering when Stuart Rhodes, the leader of the far-right Oath Keepers group, will go on trial on seditious conspiracy charges, well, we now have a date, September 27th. A judge on Wednesday rejected Rhodes' last-minute bid to replace his lawyers and delay the case. This trial, the case against Rhodes and his 4 co-defendants in federal court, will be the most serious case to go on trial so far over the January 6, 2021 insurrection. Meanwhile, a report from the Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism released Wednesday refers to a leaked membership roll of the Oath Keepers. Researchers examined these lists with more than 38,000 names and found more than 370 names of people believed to currently work in police and sheriff's offices. More than 100 others appear to be active duty military personnel, and more than 80 are believed to be aspiring public officials or already serving in public office. The Transparency Collective distributed denial of secrets, compiled and published the database. Now, another day, another shooting in the United States. 4 people were killed and 3 others injured during an hours-long shooting spree in Memphis on Wednesday, part of which was live-streamed on Facebook. Officials said a suspect who terrorized the city for hours, shooting victims at multiple crime locations, is finally in custody. There were at least 7 shootings and a carjacking. Meanwhile, in Canada, the final suspect in a stabbing rampage that killed 10 people in and around a Canadian Indigenous reserve in Saskatchewan died after being arrested by police Wednesday, this following a manhunt that stretched for more than 3 days. Now, both brothers, who are believed to be the assailants here, are dead. Well, it's booster time again. The CDC is now rolling out updated COVID-19 vaccine boosters following the FDA's authorization late last month. These shots will replace the boosters previously offered in the U.S. for people 12 and older and will target both the original strain of COVID-19 and the Omicron subvariants. So if you're wondering whether or not you should get the booster now or wait, well, some experts advise getting the shot soon if you have not been vaccinated in 2022 and have not had a recent infection. CDC guidelines say people who recently recovered from COVID-19 can wait 3 months from their infection to get the booster because reinfection is unlikely immediately after recovery. I got mine on Tuesday. Just saying. Kudos to the state of Michigan, where Court of Claims Judge Elizabeth Gleicher on Wednesday ruled that the 1931 law criminalizing most abortions in Michigan violates the tenets of the state constitution. Now, this order isn't the final stay on abortion access in the state. It will be appealed. But it is the first time a Michigan judge has weighed in on the constitutionality of abortion in the state since the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade. And finally, it was like a reunion day at the White House on Wednesday with the unveiling of former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama's official White House portraits. This was the first time the Obamas had returned to the White House since 2017. The paintings were the first added to the White House collection since Obama, during his presidency, welcomed former President George W. Bush and Laura Bush for the unveiling of their portraits in 2012. Obama's portrait was painted by Robert McCurdy, Michelle's portrait painted by Sharon Sprung. White House portraits are usually unveiled under a president's immediate successor, but the former guy refused to hold a ceremony during his term in office for the Obamas and even went so far as to hide the official portraits of the Clintons in the White House basement. Amazing. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.